you, Brooke. Probably, but be done with this before the end, just as March begins, about a month, 3 or 4 more weeks. But I do want to, we're going to do Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. But I do want to give us the runway to this because it's so important for us to understand what Paul's saying in the context of the way he delivered. And again, you know, this letter wasn't written in chapters. That was just divided up so for us more for reference. And didn't have chapters and verses either. So again, we've talked about Paul in chapter 3, verses in a couple of weeks ago, right? Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And he's going to go into talking about the fact that it's so important for us to understand, right, that the Judaizers were trying to bring people under the law and tell them to live, you know, they had to receive Jesus, also had to be circumcised and had to follow the law. And again, not that we have Judaizers in our churches today as far as Jews coming to us to tell us to go under the law, but we do have people who teach Christianity from a standpoint of a law standpoint, a performance standpoint, that we're still trying to earn things from God. And it's important for us to understand that's Paul. What Paul is saying here is, right, it's safe for me to remind you of these things, that our salvation is completely dependent just on what Jesus Christ has done for us, right? That our confidence before God is because of what Christ has done. He says, beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Again, people who were telling him to come under the law. Verse 3, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, right? We serve God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, meaning we boast in Christ alone. We have confidence before God because of what Christ has done. So we boast in Christ alone, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Again, our standing before God has nothing to do with how bad I was today or how good I was today. Our security is in what Christ has done for us. That's what our standing is before God. Then last week we talked about, started in verse 4, Paul says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. So he's basically saying, listen, if we're going to go into a flesh fest, if we're going to go into a competition, if we're going to arm wrestle this, let me tell you what my qualifications are, because he's going to point to how meaningless all his qualifications were when it came to meeting Jesus, right? So he goes through his qualifications. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, right? He was a natural born Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, okay? He was one of the 12 tribes, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. These are all the natural qualifications that he received just by being born a Jew. And again, why is that important? Because the Jews had a covenant with God. The Jews were the people, that the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews. So to be a Jew was a significant thing because they were the one people group who actually had a relationship with the living God. So he was born into that. So there was all privileges and benefits of being a Jew. So then he was naturally born into this. And then he says concerning the law of Pharisee, these were choices he made. He chose to become a Pharisee, which was the strictest sect of all the Jewish sex, and it had the highest requirements, okay? And so he, concerning the law, he chose to be a Pharisee. We talked about the fact that he was climbing the ladder. He was, you know, one of the best students. He had great accolades. He had a great life set before him, right? He was going to be, look at Saul. He's going to be the next Gamaliel, okay? He had all these things going for him. Then he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was so passionate about Judaism and protecting Judaism that he was willing to literally, I mean, and you know, he talks about it multiple times in Acts. He was pretty voracious in going after Jews. I mean, going after Christians. I mean, he would make sure they were imprisoned. He was there when Stephen was stoned. And he was going to snuff out Christianity because he was so passionate about the purity of Judaism. And he got people imprisoned. He got people killed because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And he says, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Again, the only way he had to measure himself was by the law. And so when he looked at all the law, he said, oh, I meet that requirement, that requirement, that requirement. So in his mind, he stood before God and he was like, I'm good. I'm good. Now, Jesus showed him different, but whatever. That's where he was at. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All the benefits I had and all of those things, Okay, all that I had, he says, I count that as loss for Christ. Like I like that, none of that matters to me. Even the fact that I was born a Jew and the fact that all those things I accomplished, none of that matters to me because I met Jesus Christ, right? The resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And then he says, yet indeed, I also count all things lost. So even in my present day life, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, right? This is personal. He has a personal relationship with him. He knows him, but it's not just the knowledge of Jesus himself, but it's the spiritual understanding he now has because of Christ. He understands that we're in a battle between darkness and light. He understands that the kingdom of God has come to this earth and he's now in the kingdom and he's operating in accordance with the kingdom that he resides in. So he has this whole new understanding, okay? He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, like as dung, like none of these things matter to me. Everything I accomplished in the world, none of it matters, that I may gain Christ. And we talked about that word gain, which is so beautiful because it means that I might be influenced both internally and in my circumstance always by Christ. The only thing he wants to influence him is who he is as a person and the circumstances of his life is Christ. Be found in him, right? Not having mine own righteousness that he has created through the law, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We talked about the fact that if it's from God, it meets God's requirements, right? If he authors the righteousness, then it satisfies him. So it's not coming up with our own righteousness. This is a righteousness God gives us by faith, that I may know him, right? Have a personal relationship with him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, taking the same form. So he wants to live a life just as Christ did. And then he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Again, this isn't talking about, I hope that one day God will say, okay, and I can go to heaven. What he's talking about is on this side of my death, I want to live in the full resurrection power of what Jesus did. Wow. Wow. That's the goal. I want to live in the full, he died for a reason and a purpose, and I want to live in the fullness of that this side of my death, is what Paul is saying. This should be all of our prayers, amen? All of our prayers, right? Okay, so now, it's important that we understand this. That's why I wanted to review it as we go on. So this is the encouraging word, and I don't know if it's an encouraging word or a discouraging word, because Paul, and I remember this, when I was at Caris Bible College, I went up to Andrew one time after class, and I said to him, you know, when did you start really walking in the revelation of your righteousness in Christ? And he says, I think I'm starting to work in that now. And I thought, well, wow. I feel hopeless now. Anyway, but Paul, again, encouraging, discouraging word, not that I've already attained. Paul's like, listen, not that I've already mastered this, not that I've already arrived at this. Again, it's encouraging, but a little discouraging. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Now, this is interesting because this is the same man who in verse 6 said concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. We see a switch, right? There's been a change and there's a humility that's come over him, okay? A humility, but also an understanding of what true righteousness and holiness looks like. He's seen Jesus Christ. He sees what humanity looks like when it is merged with divinity. And he recognizes that the standard is way above anything that he could have accomplished in the law. And that was the purpose of the law, was to show us that we could never be righteous as God is righteous. We could never be holy as God is holy. So he's looking at this. He says, I now know what the goal is. And I say, I have not attained or have I already been perfected? He says, but I press on. And it's interesting, this word press on, it means to pursue, but it is the same exact word for persecute. And so when the same exact word, when he says, I persecuted the church, right? Now that same word is I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So, because he was pressing on to persecute the Christ, now he's pressing on, right? But what is it for? To lay hold of what Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This word to lay hold of, it means to make one's own, okay? To make it one's own. It means, it would be like our word, like appropriate. So in other words, Paul says, listen, I recognize that Christ Jesus laid hold of me. He possessed me as his own, the same word, right? He came and possessed me as his own. And I recognize that there was a reason for that. And now I want to commit my life towards the goal of appropriating all that he did through the cross, that I may make it my own, because Christ possessed me for a purpose and I want to live out that purpose. You know, we've talked about this before, but in John 15:16, right? It says, Jesus says, you did not choose me. We did not choose him. I chose you. I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. He chose you. This word chose, it means to pick out, select, to choose for oneself, not necessarily implying the rejection of what is not chosen, but choosing with the subsidiary ideas of kindness or favor or love. So it's not that he chose you rejecting everybody else, but he very specifically chose each one of us out of his kindness, out of his love, out of his compassion, out of his mercy. He chose each one of us. But again, Paul's recognizing you chose me for a purpose, right? He chose us and then he appointed us. He set us in place to bear fruit. That through him and our relationship with the Father, that whatever we may ask, right, he will do for us, okay? He called us with a holy calling, each one of us. And Paul recognizes that. Like, Jesus didn't just choose me to go to heaven one day. He chose me for a purpose right here on earth now, and I want to fulfill that. You know, it says in Ephesians 1:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were all created for good works, good godly works that point to the reality of who Jesus is and the reality of the kingdom. And if you think about it, you know, Paul, he had his road of Damascus experience, right, where he met Jesus. But that inspired Paul. But he went into Arabia for 3 years after that. And Jesus personally taught Paul the gospel. So he didn't just have his experience and then go out and just, he sat with Jesus. It talks about this in Galatians chapter 1, right? He sat with Jesus for 3 years to be taught, to go through the Old Testament scriptures, to get the revelation of what Christ had done as well as what he was called to. This is why preparation time is never wasted. Paul had to be prepared for what he was called. Yes, he had his Damascus Road experience, and he knew Jesus had called him, but he also knew that he needed to go away, and his life needed to be transformed by the truth of the Word of God so that he could live out what God had called him to. And that's true for each one of us. I don't know whatever way that is for you, but it's for each one of us has that journey of accepting Jesus, but then going through preparation time for what he has called us to. It's just like when Randy and I got saved, right? What is the first thing the Lord did? You need to go to Karis Bible College for 3 years, right? Because there was a purpose for what he had for us, but we couldn't fulfill that, right, without going into that preparation time to renew our mind. And it's different for everybody else. Some people don't go to Bible college. I'm not saying that, but that's what he said for us. But for each one of us, it was Paul's, yes, it was his Damascus Road experience, but it was also his obedience to what Jesus told him to do after that, that allowed him to fulfill the calling that he had, right? Again, so for each one of us, we need to recognize, right, that we aren't already there, but we're pressing on that we may lay hold of or make for ourselves of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of each one of us. He's laid hold of each one of us. For what reason? That's the question we ask in our relationship with him, so that he can lead us into what he's called us to. Because he chose us. He chose us to bear fruit. Okay, so let's go to verse 13. He says, brethren. I love the fact that he says, brethren. Again, Paul is an apostle. He's accomplished great things for the Lord. This is between his second and third missionary journeys. He's, you know, gone through a tremendous amount. He's established churches. And yet in his letters, right, he just says, brethren. Like, we're all brothers and sisters in this, okay? Paul walks in his authority, but he's never authoritarian. Right? He knows who he is, and he knows what he's called to, and he'll pull that card out if he has to. But he always walks in humility as a brother in Christ, right? So, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Again, when he measures up, when he looks at the measuring stick, when he looks at what he's, I've got this over too far. When he looks at where he's at and he looks at the measuring stick, he's recognizing, you know, I don't count myself. When I add up the equation and see everything and the results, I don't count myself to have apprehended. That word apprehended is the same word that was in the previous verse saying lay hold of. I don't say that I've apprehended and that I've seized and possessed it as my own. Now, again, he's not talking about his salvation. He has his salvation. What he's talking about is, I don't consider myself to have arrived at living in the fullness of what Jesus Christ has done. Okay? I don't count myself to have apprehended. And so there's just such humility in this. He says Romans 12:3 here, it says, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Again, he's not thinking of himself more highly than anybody else. He walks in humility. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. That's pretty amazing, because Paul has a lot of churches he's responsible for, right? He's teaching the word everywhere he goes. Right now he's in, you know, house arrest. And he's got the burdens of the church on him and all these other things, right? But he says, but one thing I do. In the midst of all the responsibilities and activities that Paul has in his life, there's one thing he does. One thing he does. What is that? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Okay, so just forgetting those things which are behind. Let's just sit with that for a minute, because, you know, again, we can think of it in the context of Paul saying, like, everything that he, like, letting go of his previous life and the trajectory of that life and the success that he was going to have, right? We can think about that then. So he's leaving that behind. But I think there's more to it than that. Paul had lots of opportunities to be bitter. He was persecuted. He was unjustly jailed for years. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was with food, without food. I mean, he went through a lot of challenges. He did. Okay. He's like, even leaving behind those things that he could have been bitter or angry or unforgiveness in. But also he had to leave behind the fact that he was responsible for the imprisonment and death of many Christians. He persecuted people, fellow believers. And he has to, if he's going, and this is, because this is a word for all of us. Like, if for us to move forward into what God has called us to, we have to leave the past behind. All of it. The great things we've accomplished, that the world would say, yay, you. Even what the religious world would say, oh, yay, you. Right? We have to leave that behind. We have to leave behind the messes that we've created. Not that God won't have us redeem them and restore and things like that, but I'm just saying those things can't identify us anymore. If we're going to move into what God has called each one of us to, we have to forget those things which are behind and move forward into what he's called. So forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, I mean, he was there with the stoning of Stephen. He saw Stephen say, you know, forgive them for what, you know, do not hold this sin against them. And it, so, I mean, he recognizes what Stephen had. He recognizes that Stephen had encountered Jesus and who Stephen really was and why Stephen was able to see that. And yet Stephen was stoned while Paul was holding the coats for everybody. What are you not able to leave behind? We have to, if we're going to move into what Jesus Christ has called each one of us to, we have to leave the past behind. He's paid for everything. Jesus paid for Paul's sin of holding the coats. Like, he paid for all of that. He paid for the fact that he knew Paul was going to persecute him. And Jesus took care of that on the cross. And he's taken care of every single one of us at the cross. And we have to appropriate that. We have to take that as our own, so that, because we will never move forward if the enemy is still able to tie us to our past. Jesus doesn't tie us to our past. But the enemy will try to do that and hinder us. And we have to refuse to allow that to happen, because today is a new day. And God's mercies are new every morning. That's why I can get out of bed, because his mercies are new every morning. Amen? Amen? So forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, right? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, press toward, right? This press toward, let me see here. It means, again, it's the same word as persecute. It means to pursue, right? So I pursue, the same word he's used before, I pursue the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We all have an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's the the life the enemy planned for you. There's the life that you planned for you. And then there's the life that Jesus planned for you. And there's an upward call on every single one of us. There's an upward call, okay? And for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This calling, it's always used in the New Testament of that calling, the origin, nature, and destiny of which are heavenly, with the idea of an invitation being implied. He's inviting all of us into an upward call. And that doesn't mean that you quit your job or quit school or any of those other things. It just means understanding that in the sphere of influence he has given you, you have a higher calling. It's you're living for a greater purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." That's the context that Paul is using here in these verses is that of like an athlete in a race, okay? But the press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like, we're in a race. We all have a goal. And it's not that we're trying to beat each other, right? But we're all in a race towards a goal. And we all want to run in such a way that we can all win the prize. So it's not excluding anybody. We all can win the prize. We all can win the prize. Hebrews says 3:1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." We are partakers of the heavenly calling. We are all called to ministry. Every one of us. Every single one of us. Whatever job you have, you're still called to ministry. It's just a different platform, a different sphere of influence, but we're all called to it because we're all disciples of Jesus Christ. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all partakers of the heavenly calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, "He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, praise God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." You know, again, I love to meditate on this. Like, Jesus knew you. Like, you were a thought in his mind, right? Him and God and Holy Spirit, right? And you were created. And then, you know, he created the earth, and then he brought us to earth. And he's been with us through this whole journey. You know, I used to get upset with God, be like, you know, really? Like, you put me here as a fallen creation, like, and this? And he's like, "Yes, but Melissa, I never sent you there alone. My commitment was to walk through it with you." He didn't abandon us. Yes, he knew this was a fallen creation. Yes, he brought us here. But his commitment to us was that he would walk every step of the way with us. That's beautiful. But then we're gonna spend eternity with him. Forever we're gonna be getting to know Jesus, okay? So the one relationship in every single one of our lives that has always existed and will always exist is Jesus Christ. So, if that's the truth, and it is, wouldn't it be really important for each one of us to know him? That is the most important. Every other relationship we have will come and go. But that one will never, it's always existed and it will never leave. And therefore, that is the one relationship that we need to invest everything in, because he is the one who knows us and will know us forever. Amen? Amen. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight of faith. This is just before Paul was martyred. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Well, guess what? You get the crown too. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Revelation 22:4, we shall see his face and his name shall be on our foreheads. This is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like, there's a beautiful thing at the end, right? 1 Corinthians says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This is the beauty of what we can know to some degree now, but this is what we're pressing towards. We live for a purpose so much greater than what the world would ever try to tell us. For each one of us, it's so much greater. It's just so much greater. So we press toward the goal for the prize of the upward goal of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Again, I love this. Therefore, let us, again, Paul in humility, like let us, we're all on this journey. I haven't arrived, folks, right? But this is the direction I know we're supposed to go, right? We're going for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We all have a heavenly calling. Brothers and sisters, we're all in the same thing, right? He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature. Now, this word mature is talking about being fit, in training, ready for the race, okay, so for as many people who understand that what we're called to is to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, for as many as us who are ready to run that race, okay, he says, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? Well, part of it is just to know that it's Jesus has made us righteous and holy. It's not about our works. It's about our relationship with him, and that what we're going for is to live in the fullness of what he died to give us. Okay, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, I love this because it's not like I'm the apostle. And if you choose to run in this race, that's great. Start running and I'll let you know when you mess up. He doesn't put himself in that position. He's like, this is what it says. Like, this is exactly what was prophesied in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, right? And it comes in Hebrews chapter 8. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. This is what the new covenant is, right? That each one of us gets our own personal relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what Paul is saying is, listen, if you've set your heart to run this race, okay, and you understand the prize of the calling and you're ready to engage, I trust your relationship with God enough to know that I don't have to be your judge and jury. You, if you're pursuing God, God is the one who's going to correct you. If you, and the other thing is this, is he knows that we're going to get off course sometimes. He's not afraid of that. What he wants is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with God? And if you've really set your heart to run this race, then I trust that God will be the one who will correct you. Now, does it mean we don't need brothers and sisters in Christ? No, that's not what I'm talking about, right? We do need brothers and sisters in Christ. We need people to speak into our lives. We need people to remind us of truth. We need to read the word. We need to hear the word, right? We need to do all those things. But it's God that uses all those things, right, to bring us on the path. But the main line is each one of us is responsible for our own relationship before God. This is why when people come to me, like, I'll hear you out. I'll tell you what, like, what I feel like the Lord's saying and what the word's saying, but I'm going to tell you, listen, you need to go talk to Jesus. Because I have enough trouble being responsible for this. Right? That's a challenge. And so for all, because, and I mean, the bottom line is because I want every single one of you to hear Jesus. Right? And we're all accountable to Jesus. And so that's what Paul's saying. Like, I know if you've really set your heart on this goal, then I also know that if you start missing it, if you start getting off the course, that God will get you back on track. Now, he has to live that way. Look at all the people he's responsible for, right? And that's the thing that we can do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, we can entrust each one of us to our relationship with God. Right? We can encourage, exhort, share the word with one another, but we don't take on the burdens of our brothers and sisters. I mean, we pray as the Lord leads and things like that, but we don't carry those burdens. Jesus carries that burden. And he's the responsible one to be able to bring them into correction. So I just love that Paul says that, right? Then verse 16, he says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, again, we, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us walk in the same rule. So to the degree or the point that we've achieved, right, that we've arrived at, let us walk, let us order our life, okay, by the same rule. This would be like a measuring stick. Like if you know, like, okay, so what is he saying? The same rule, let us be of the same mind. He's saying to the degree that you understand the word of God, to that degree, let that be a guiding point in your life. Okay? In other words, Paul's not saying, well, I have this much revelation and you all need to be up here. He's saying, listen, just be responsible for the revelation that God has given you and take that revelation and walk in that. To whatever degree you understand truth, walk in that. And then in your relationship with God, he's going to stretch you a little bit more and reveal a little bit more to you. But this is beautiful because it's just so much about our individual walks with the Lord. There's areas that you're strong in, I'm weak in. I'm strong in, you're weak in. Like we all have areas that we have a greater revelation and we don't have a greater revelation. Some areas we're stronger. And so what Paul's saying is, listen, just be responsible for the part that you do understand and as best as possible, try to let that be the measuring stick. Okay, and so if you understand righteousness, okay, so today we're going to walk in as close to the standard of righteousness by our relationship with God as possible, okay? And we know that God will teach us through that journey to help us grow in that. But we don't compare, like, what does it say? Like, we comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. And that's what I love about Paul saying this. Like, he's not saying, compare yourself to me, compare yourself to each other. I mean, we do compare ourselves to Jesus, okay, in the sense that we know that that's the goal. But we're not here to judge one another. We're here to encourage one another and to embrace whatever level we are at. Instead of beating ourselves up because we're not where this person is or that person is or how come they have... No, 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 no. We just sit with God and what revelation has he given us? And then we're faithful to walk in that piece of the revelation he's given us. And we trust in the journey that he will continue to expand that and grow that as long as we keep him as the mark, right? And then we can honor one another in our journeys, because I see people, you know, people get a revelation and then they beat everybody around them with it because, well, why don't you get this? Well, maybe because it's not my season to get this. We're all in different seasons. He's all got different revelations. And I've seen so many times, even, for example, and God will do this on purpose. He will do this on purpose. For example, like a revelation on money, okay? He will tell one person, like, you need to start tithing 20%. And then he'll tell somebody else, I want you to stop giving for a while. Now, if you start to take your revelation and put it on somebody else, you are messing with God's plan. I don't know why he would do that. But that's why you have to hear God for yourself, and you need to walk in what he tells you to walk in, okay? And we, as brothers and sisters, need to honor that process in our brothers and sisters' lives, right? Because we're all on our own individual journey. And I don't know why God would tell someone this, that, or the other thing, but that's none of my business, as long as I know that they're following the Lord. So it's important when we get a revelation of something, yeah, we want to share it with our brothers and sisters, but don't beat people up with it. And don't expect them to walk in it to the degree that we are, because that's just, they're in a different journey. God knows the journey we each have, and we need to embrace our own journeys, love our own journeys, and honor our journey as well as others' journeys. It's just really important. And that's just humility. It's just really humility. So I love all this, because if it comes back to Philippians 1:6, where Paul says, this is why Paul can say, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to say to every single one of us, each other, right? Whatever we're all going through, I am confident that the Lord is going to complete that which he has begun in each one of us until the day of Jesus Christ. And that journey looks different for each one of us. And we can honor the journey, right? We can honor the journey, and we can understand that, like, none of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. If Paul hasn't arrived, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of hope. But well, none of us has, he's arrived now. He's arrived now. But I get a little mad at Randy sometimes, because he's arrived too, and it just really ticks me off, to be really honest. I'm like, dude, you have all this stuff to deal with anymore. Anyway, but not that we've already attained. Because you can beat yourself up because you see the high calling and you know you're here, and you can beat yourself up for that. You can't do that, family. We can't do that, right? We're on a journey. And God loves the journey we're on. And what he wants most of all is just to be in the journey with you. He wants to encourage you and exhort you in the journey. He wants you to commit to the goal, the prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. But then he wants to walk that with each one of us. And he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He's faithful. He will complete that which was begun. If he doesn't get it done this side of our transition, he'll get it done on that side. Praise God. Okay. We're all on a journey. We can love our own journeys. Love our own journeys, right? Christ is my firm foundation. He won't fail. Okay. We can love our own journeys. And we can also honor and encourage each other in our own journey, in their journeys as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Lord, I'm just so grateful for your presence. I'm so grateful for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful for Paul's transparency and humility, that he can just say to us, listen, I haven't arrived. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you are the one who's going to complete that which you have begun. And Lord, I would pray for each one of us that we really come to a place in our lives that we leave the past behind, even the past that happened 10 minutes ago. Even the past that happened 10 minutes ago, that we can really leave the past behind, clear our hearts of anything that we might be holding on to. Lord, we just let go of any ways the enemy may be trying to accuse us of anything, Lord. And we just embrace where we're at, knowing that you've forgiven everything from the past, and that you are leading us into a greater journey in you. You can the music. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for just coming alongside us and say, hey, let's just move forward. Let's just move forward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The prayer ministers can come on up. Again, I would just sit with this for, let's just sit for a minute or two. I would just say, like, I really feel the Lord pulling on people's hearts to really let go of past things, to really embrace what he's done for each one of us, even if it's letting go of the great things or the not so great things. He wants just you to know how much he loves you and how much he's excited to walk this journey with us. We are all called to bear fruit for the kingdom. We are called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We are called to operate in the prophetic giftings. We are called to have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We are called to a supernatural lifestyle. We are called to a deep intimacy with God. We are called to all these things. Family, we are supernatural beings. We have the power of God resident inside each one of us. And he wants to see us walk in this, to give him glory, to give him glory. Lord, I just pray for boldness over us and a confidence to step out, Lord, not looking to, did I get the result that I wanted? But the victory comes in just the fact that we stepped out. The victory is in just the fact that we prayed, or we gave a kind word to someone, or we loved someone. Or it's just the fact that that's the victory, not the result. The result we give to God, the victory is that we stepped out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being our greatest encourager, our greatest exhorter, our greatest cheerleader, and greatest champion. Thank you for the role model that you gave, the demonstration of who we were created to be. Thank you for bringing that to us. Thank you that we're on this side of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. If any of you would like an encouraging word, please come forward. If you'd like healing, if you need healing in your body, God wants to heal you. I promise he wants to heal you today. He wants to see you set free. You have emotional burdens, anything like that. Come forward. We would just love to pray with you. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the beauty of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just feel him here. He's just giving all of you a hug. He's so proud of each one of you. So proud. He loves you so much. And he's not asking any of us to do a perfect journey. He's just asking us to do it with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if anyone's watching live stream and they have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all you need to do is recognize that you are a sinner and that you just say, Jesus, I accept your death, burial, and resurrection. The sacrifice you made for me, I accept that. And then just give your heart to him. And he is glad to bring you into the kingdom because he chose you. He chose you that you would be his and bear fruit for his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I'd ask if you'd like to talk, to go outside in the lobby area so people can continue to receive ministry up here. But be encouraged, be blessed. God loves you.